Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet.
Welcome to Starseed Radio Academy. It's Tuesday, September 18th, 2018, and I'm your host, Ariel Taylor, with my co-hosts, Lavendar and Anastasia. Our special guest tonight is Carla Sampson, who is a multidimensional coach, mentor, and entrepreneur specializing in helping visionary entrepreneurs who are ready to take giant leaps into new territories of success, fulfillment, and alignment within their life's purpose. Carla is an awakened starseed, deeply devoted to the advancement of our collective and individual human and divine potential. At an early age, Carla studied exercise science and holistic health care and began specializing in developing health and wellness programs, workshops, and retreats. Carla began traveling to remote places around the world, visiting with shamans, holy men, and monks, and sitting with the many different medicine ceremonies this planet has to offer, from the high Himalayas of India to the deep jungles of South America. Carla now owns a sacred embodiment studio in downtown Ann Arbor called Align Divine Yoga, as well as offering online mentorship and coaching called Starseed Entrepreneurs, where she guides starseeds and lightworkers in discovering their own purposeful potential and designing personal brands and businesses that create a ripple of beautiful impact on our planet. And you can check out her websites. There are three. Carla Sampson, and that is C-A-R-L-A, Carla, and Sampson, S-A-M-S-O-N.com, and Synchroblicity, S-Y-N-C-H-R-O, and Blicity, B-L-I-S-S-I-T-Y, I like that, Synchroblicity.com, and also AlignDivineYoga.com. And at the top of the show, it is Anastasia's Starseed News, bringing topics of interest to starseeds that you won't hear in the mainstream. And we'd like to thank Kathy, Jada, and Fiona for hosting the switchboard tonight for those who may have a question or comment for Carla. We have an online starseed community at starseedhotline.ning.com, and it's a safe place to connect with other starseeds, thanks to Tammy's helpful dedication. And you can download our shows on iTunes or right here on Blog Talk. If you'd like to show your support of our program, please click follow on our page here at Blog Talk, and you'll get our weekly show notices if you elect to have those notifications. The toll-free number for StarseedHotline.com is 888-881-0881. And the Starseed confirmations are based on Lavendar's discovery of star markings and your natal astrological chart. And the Stage 2 session is a one-on-one phone session available with Lavendar, Anastasia, or myself. And if you have a birthday coming up, don't miss out on your 10 hours of power. You can find out when it happens by requesting your solar return timing. And please remember, if you want an interpretation of that chart outside of just the timing, you'll need to order it about 3 months ahead of your birthday so that you can get it in before your 10 hours, because we do have a waiting list. So first up this evening, I would like to introduce Anastasia with her always fascinating starseed news. Yay! Well, hello, Anastasia.
Good evening, Ariel. Good evening, everyone. It's great to be with you. Lots of news. Better get started. The solar wind is here. Earth is now in a stream of solar wind flowing from a hole in the sun's atmosphere. There are no sunspots, by the way. And as far as this solar wind goes, it's not a very fast stream, but at this time of year, it could be enough to ignite Arctic auroras. There are equinox cracks in Earth's magnetic field. That sounds ominous, doesn't it? They say these cracks are lowering our planet's defenses against the solar wind, setting the stage now for the northern lights. Well, speaking of the sun, you all remember last week when officials had closed the Sunspot Solar Observatory in New Mexico. Well, the National Solar Observatory and Sunspot and a nearby United States Postal Service office were evacuated last week and shut down for security reasons September 9th. Officials refused to tell people the reason for the sudden shutdown. And after days of resisting rumors about alien visitations and so on, the managers of the Sunspot Solar Observatory say that they are now, they have reopened the facility. Actually, it was yesterday. They say that they've shed more light on the reason for its 10-day security-related closure. Now, this is a 71-year-old, 9,200-foot elevation observatory on Sacramento Peak. It's the National Center for Ground-Based Solar Physics. It is managed not by the government, but by the Association of Universities for Research in Astronomy and the National Science Foundation. Well, the FBI is the agency credited with closing down the observatory and the post office. And their explanation, the observatory's explanation for the evacuation, reads as follows. They said, "We have been cooperating with an ongoing law enforcement investigation of criminal activity that occurred at Sacramento Peak. During this time, we have become concerned that a suspect in the investigation posed a threat to the safety of local staff and residents. For this reason, the telescope temporarily vacated the facility," or the agency that owns the telescope, vacated the facility and ceased science activities at that location. They went on to say the decision to vacate was based on the logistical challenges associated with protecting personnel at such a remote location and the need for expeditious response to the potential threat. AURA, which stands for the Association of Universities for Research in Astronomy, by the way, determined that moving the small number of on-site staff and residents off the mountain was the most prudent and effective action to ensure their safety. They go on to say, in light of recent developments in the investigation, we've determined there is no risk to staff, and the Sunspot Solar Observatory is transitioning back to regular operations as of yesterday. Given the significant amount of publicity the temporary closure has generated and the consequent expectation of an unusual number of visitors to the site, we are temporarily engaging a security service while the facility returns to a normal working environment. Well, that's interesting because we don't hear any explanation from the town or the postal service about why they closed their facility. But anyway, the AURA officials have told us that they recognize that the lack of information during the evacuation was, quote, concerning and frustrating for some, end quote. They said that they hushed up the information so as not to alert the suspect that authorities were looking for. It shouldn't take long for nearby residents to be back in their homes, they said, for researchers to be back at the telescope, and for tourists to be back at the visitor center. But a full resolution of this mystery, they say, will have to wait until criminal charges are filed against the supposed suspect, assuming that the investigation shows something. Wow, really? Really? Okay, that's their story. That's their story. Scratch heads. You know, the FBI has to evacuate an entire area. Come on, I mean, idiocy is the norm anymore, and it may be true. It could be true, considering the idiocy of the way things are going, the idiotic way things are handled. But, you know, you just have to wonder. In the meantime, here's some more for you. Thanks to Lavendar, I tracked this down. There were six more solar observatories closed at the same time. Six more around the world. One in Australia, Chile, Spain, two in Hawaii, and in Pennsylvania were shut down at the same time as the Solar Observatory in New Mexico. But hold that thought for a minute because I have a little bit more to tell you about it. That's right. We had one in Australia, one in Chile, one in Spain, two in Hawaii, and one in Pennsylvania, and I won't bore you with all of their names, big, long scientific names for each. But you will note, as I examined this story, as I researched it, that it was the webcams that were not working, which would not be the same as having the observatories themselves shut down. Here's the weird part. In researching this story late last week, I attempted to load each of these websites in a search engine by clicking the links in a related article. Guess what? Not one of these sites were available, and at least one of them was a domains for sale page. Now, I wondered what was up with that, and also considered that the writer of the story had maybe included some bad links with his article. Now today, however, all of these websites, each and every one of them, are up and running as though they'd been there the whole time. And I will note that this time I researched each observatory separately. I followed the links from a search engine instead of inside the article. But it leaves us to wonder, were these observatory websites truly down? And if so, why? Why? Something about this whole thing just doesn't sit right with me. That's just not the whole story, I don't think. But there it is.
Yeah, it's a cover story.
What's that, Ariel?
Cover story.
Yeah. All right. Well, you probably all heard about this in mainstream, but it's quite a story. I think we should all be concerned about it. It's yet another sign and indicator, evidence, I should say, of incompetence by government and corporations. A series of gas explosions that some people called Armageddon in a community north of Boston killed a teenager and injured at least 10 other people. It ignited fires in 39 homes in three communities, forcing entire neighborhoods in these three towns to evacuate as people scrambled to fight the flames and shut off gas. Now, the Massachusetts Emergency Management Agency blamed these fires on gas lines that had become overpressurized, but said they're still investigating what happened. Okay. Wow. Well, they found some wonderful historical discoveries. A sandstone sphinx dating from the last dynasty of ancient Egypt was uncovered in Aswan. A sandstone sphinx believed to date from the last dynasty of ancient Egypt was uncovered by archaeologists as they drained water from a temple in the southern city of Aswan. The sandstone statue of the mythical beast, which has the head of a human and the body of a lion, most likely dates from 305 BC to 30 BC. The Sphinx was found at the same location where two sandstone reliefs of King Ptolemy V were uncovered only 2 months ago. The discovery is one of the several important archaeological finds made in Egypt in recent years. They're really finding some stuff down there. Another Sphinx. Showed a picture of it. It's really cool looking. And here's another discovery, genetically important. I hate to think about what they're going to do with this DNA, but they have uncovered a 50,000-year-old mummified wolf pup and a caribou that they found in the Yukon permafrost gold miners region of Canada. This 50,000-year-old mummified remains of two Ice Age animals, a caribou calf and a wolf pup, were unveiled in this territory in the Yukon with their fur, skin, and muscle tissue still intact. The photographs are amazing. The fur is like, it's like all there. Okay, it looks soft. Now, these specimens are among the oldest mummified mammal soft tissue in the world. In fact, when it comes to the pup, they say that it's the only mummified Ice Age wolf ever found in the world. Furthermore, they say that it's the oldest soft tissue in the world because the caribou was found in an area which includes an 80,000-year-old volcanic ash bed. Can you even comprehend this kind of time span, guys? Wow. That puts everything in perspective, if you ask me. Well, this wolf pup was estimated to be no more than 8 weeks old when it died. And it has its head, its tail, and its fur and skin is intact. And the caribou remains include the animal's torso, head, and his front limbs. I just think that's awesome.
Wow.
It just really puts things in perspective. Well, we've had lots of strange weather. You know, we had 6 or 7 hurricanes, typhoons and such, all forming at the same time last week. But China had a real problem. They had to evacuate millions of people after Typhoon Mangkhut left Hong Kong in tatters. It wreaked havoc across the entire region. southern Hong Kong experienced winds of 107 miles per hour and gusts up to 138 miles per hour. Did a lot of damage. And Reunion volcano is erupting. The Piton de la Fournaise of Reunion Island, a French Indian Ocean territory, erupted on Saturday. The lava gushed on the south flank of the volcano. According to the observatory, the seismic crisis began in the early afternoon, and they tell us that the volcano has been showing signs of awakening since the beginning of September, but just a couple of days ago, kaboom, there it went, and the lava started flowing down the side. Taking a long time to, a few months to, well, actually not that long, taking it a while to wake up, anyway, the first part of the month, here it goes. And in New Zealand, they have been having wild weather. Every place has been having wild, weird weather. In New Zealand, farmers lost more than 100,000 lambs. They said it was devastating to lose all of these lambs in the eastern and central North Island part of New Zealand. They say that this is because a snowstorm dropped as much as 4 inches an hour. Now, they tell us at current prices of $144 per lamb, the economic hit would be $14.4 million. That's a lot of little animals, and that's a lot of snow, 4 inches an hour. Having lived in snow country, I can tell you that it doesn't take long to bury a house at that rate. So it's not surprising they lost livestock. Well, there was also a rare earthquake that hit near the Western Australian town of Walpole. Any of our listeners out from that region? It was a 5.6. Tremors were felt as far away as Perth and Albany, Australia. And in Georgia, Augusta, Georgia, there was a 2.6 magnitude quake. Just happened late last week. They say that earthquakes in the eastern part of the U.S. are pretty rare. It was a minor earthquake. There were no injuries or damages reported. And there is a brand new study. They've been watching this volcano. I absolutely don't think I can pronounce it. In Iceland, you know how those words are. But this Iceland's monster volcano called Katla is charging up for an eruption. It's hidden beneath a giant ice cap, this volcano is. It's buried way beneath the ice. And I cannot say the glacier, and you don't care anyway. You don't need to know it. But they say that the magma chambers in this volcano are filling. And they say that this will dwarf the 2010 eruption of that other volcano that I can't pronounce. But they tell us that this volcano was long overdue since it historically erupted about every 40 years. The last known eruption in Katla was in 1918. Now, Katla is emitting enormous quantities of carbon dioxide. They say that this volcano releases at least 20 kilotons of carbon dioxide every day. Now, they wonder about what might be causing global warming. You never hear them mention volcanoes. But there are another two volcanoes on the planet that are emitting even more carbon dioxide than the Katla volcanoes. There's a lot of CO2 entering our atmosphere through natural causes. And does anybody wonder about Hawaii? You know, there was so much news about Hawaii's Kilauea volcano. I even talked about it a lot. Well, I wondered, and I looked it up. And according to Hawaii News Now, emissions from the Kilauea volcano has dropped to the lowest levels in 11 years as eruptions are tapering off. That's right. Kilauea is quieting down. Volcanic gas emissions have dropped to the lowest levels in 10 years, and the island residents are much happier because there is less of that VOG, the volcanic gas. Now, University of Hawaii professors are trying to make predictions so that people can prepare. They made changes recently to their models of predictions. They say that the sulfur dioxide is what hurts people most in these volcanoes. In these volcanic eruptions, that's the major problem, particularly on such a heavily populated island as Hawaii, that the sulfur dioxide affects breathing and so on. But they say that now that the air quality in Hawaii has improved now, it was pretty bad for a while, and that the lava is tapered off, they say that emissions are down, the air is clear, and the volcano is going back to sleep. So after all that property damage and all that problem, I know that a lot of people are very happy to have this. They said that some of the Leilani Estates residents have been allowed to return to their homes, but they're still dealing with the lasting effects of the sulfur. They said that it has soaked into the drywall of their houses, excuse me, and that it's actually rusted metal and aluminum into dust. It's pretty amazing.
Wow.
So they're getting busy cleaning up things. They're monitoring emissions. Homeowners are going back, trying to put things back together again. They're hoping that this isn't the end of it. They say there's still a little bit of steam because it's so hot under the ground. They think that steam coming up through these fissures is natural for a little while, and everybody's tentatively walking on the ground, taking a breath of clean air for the first time in a while, and beginning now to put their lives back together. But that was quite an event for so many, many people in Hawaii. And many of them went homeless. They had to stay in shelters for months as these eruptions went on. So it was a terrific, terrific challenge for many people. But there you have it. And I have a quote for the week to come. It's a great quote. So here you go. It's my philosophy. Life is full of beauty. Notice it. Notice the bumblebee, the little child, and the smiling faces. Smell the rain and feel the wind. Live your life to the fullest potential and fight for your dreams. Never give up. So no matter what's going on in the world, remember that. And from my heart to each one of you, have a beautiful week, everybody, and much love to you. Thank you, Ariel.
Well, thank you so much, Anastasia, for bringing us the Starseed news.
My pleasure.
I like that quote. Just about says it all. So we will look forward to hearing more news next week. Okay. Thanks, Anastasia. Bye-bye. Okay. So now I'm going to get Lavendar's mic open and our guest, Carla Sampson. Get your mic open. Okay. Carla, welcome. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. So grateful to be here.
Well, we're glad to have you here. And Lavendar is going to kick it off for us. You ready to go?
I'm ready. I'm here.
Okay.
So, Carla, I'm so excited that you have chosen to put Starseed in front of entrepreneurship. I think that is so cool. So tell us a little bit about yourself before you start telling us about your new programs that you've put together. When did you wake up, and how long have you been a metaphysician? And just kind of give us a thumbnail sketch of your life growing up.
Yeah, thanks, Lavendar. First and foremost, I just want to express my gratitude. So grateful. And you had a little magic to do with putting that starseed in front of Starseed Entrepreneurs. A little bit about myself. Let's see. So, you know, as a starseed on this planet, I feel like so many of us, we go through this process of kind of discovering our magic. There is an inherent quality of magic within each and every one of us, and I felt that from a very young age. I felt this intuitive, creative, you know, but all I can explain it as is this, you know, spark of magic within my life. And I was always that kid that would stand up, you know, against the bullies, always that kid that would, you know, just have this idea of this loving, beautiful planet that I just knew was just so possible. The potentiality was so possible, and so I've always kind of made my life in that direction. And so, you know, over the years, I studied exercise physiology and holistic healthcare. I would dive into health and wellness. And I really walked that path for a long time, and over a number of different synchronicities and beautiful connected moments that happened in my life, little by little I started to discover that there was really something really special about my mission here on this planet. And I followed that, and I continuously created commitment to myself to follow that. And I think it really started actually when I got sick and when I walked through my fire. Let's call it walking through my fire. Everybody goes through it. I feel, you know, it's just, whether it be suffering or disease or trauma or whatever we walk through, it can be a beautiful opportunity for awakening.
Carla, let me interrupt you for a moment.
Yes.
Are you speaking on a speakerphone?
It's on a computer phone, is it not? Huh?
It's very choppy. It's really hard to listen to you this way for some reason. Ariel, are you hearing the same thing I am?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to hear.
It's very hard to hear.
Do you have did you try using that headset, Carla?
Yeah. Is this any better now?
It comes and goes, and then half of the sentence will get lost. If you could, can you plug in that headset?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, we'll just see if that works any better, because we want people to be able to hear and understand every word. So you're plugging in the headset?
Is this better now?
I'll keep talking.
Okay. Hello, hello. Check, check. Check one, two, three.
Okay. Oh, well, let's go with that and see how it works. So you were talking about sometimes trauma, sickness can lead you through to an awakening.
Yeah. Is this better now? The microphone now that I'm using.
Yeah.
Okay, great. I hope that this works out. Yeah. So just a little bit more about myself. Little by little, just discovering, you know, through the awakening process that I went through, just my mission on this planet was to be of service to starseeds, to those who had already awakened, who are ready to create their purpose, their destiny on this planet, and to be of service in that way. And so,
hello?
Okay.
Yes.
Are you there?
Yes.
Okay.
So, Ariel, do you think this is? Do you think she should call in on another phone, or what do you think?
Carla, can you try just using your cell phone, and call in and see if we can get the audio a little better, because it's just it's not doing you justice.
Sure. I'll do that right now.
Okay. So we'll leave this connection going while you're calling in on the phone. Do you have the number there? It's 917-889-8292.
I've got it here.
Okay, so we'll just wait for that to pop up.
So as Anastasia was talking about the news, I'm so glad she brought up Hawaii, because I've been thinking about Hawaii all week. I thought, we haven't heard any more about Hawaii. I guess it's because the volcano has cooled down. So I'm glad to hear that. Glad to hear that. Of course, other things are starting to rumble in different parts of the world, and these hurricanes and typhoons, they're just now starting to really go. And for the next 2 months, I guess we're going to see a lot of activity on both sides of the world.
Yeah. Well, Mother Earth is going through her changes, and we need to get with it.
Yep.
Okay. So we're looking for. Okay. So now, Carla, what I'm going to do is mute that first line. And gosh, why is this thing? Here we go. I'm trying to. So I'm going to mute the first line, but I'm going to leave it hooked up, and then I'm going to get back down here. Why is this thing not wanting to scroll? Okay, so now we're going to open up your other. Okay. All right, so we have you now, Carla.
Okay, beautiful. Is this better?
Yeah, but you're going to need to turn the volume off of the computer so that you're just using the phone, because I was hearing an echo.
Got it. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, did that.
All right. Okay, we are in business.
Yay.
But glad.
Technology. So beautiful, and yet can be, one of those things.
Well, we wanted to hear you clearly, so start where you were talking about sometimes an illness or something will create situations where you wake up and go forward.
Yeah, so getting back on the story, I was moving in my life in this way of kind of going just with the punches, right? Like I was moving from one thing to the next, from school to studying to kind of going in this beautiful flow that felt good. But at that same time, there was that little spark of magic, that little spark of inspiration within me that was calling me to do something else. And at that particular time in my life, when I felt that spark of really wanting to invite in more into my life, that's when I found out that I had Lyme disease. I went through this process of years of my life on this healing process of trying to, figure out this battle. And from that space, I had to go into these modalities of healing. I had to go into these modalities of really taking care of myself on a whole nother level, a whole nother level of taking care of myself. And through that really found a lot of spiritual awareness and a lot of personal fulfillment throughout that and really started to evolve in a way that I had never experienced before. So I can say after 10 years of battling with Lyme, I came into this place of massive evolution, of up-leveling within my life so deeply. And I'd been working with so many different spiritual teachers throughout the entirety of the course of my illness, and started just discovering so much about myself. And so that's sort of where I was going with talking about, this, when we walk through these fires, when we walk through the what I sometimes call the fire of initiation, it's this opportunity to really find out, that magical part of ourselves, that strength, and finding out where the source of our strength really comes from. So for me, I really started to know that divine source within myself through those fires. So,
Carla, would you tell me what year you were born?
Yeah, I was born in 1988.
See, I felt like you were one of those kids. I was told to hold my information in a bank vault. For the kids that were born after 1980, they had to be up and grown. And so a lot of people that were born after 1980 seem to be finding our website and seem to be wanting to get into entrepreneurship. I get a lot of clients that are trying to start their businesses, and they want to start a starseed business. So I'm so happy to see that you've decided to add starseed to your program. So give us a little insight now to, after all that you've gone through to be who you are now, what is your main objective about helping people to be entrepreneurs, especially if they're starseeds?
Yeah, so I really decided to go on this route of starseeds because of my own personal lack of finding those magical creatures, those magical starseed beings that were there to support other starseeds on their mission. And I'm so grateful that I found you, Lavendar, and I'm so grateful that I found this podcast too, because it really gave me a lot of confidence in the direction of being able to support other starseeds on their light missions. I mean, a starseed is really, a human being that wakes up to this magical mission and this purpose of knowing that there's this evolution happening on our planet, this beautiful awakening that is occurring on this planet at this time, and that wants to just plug in whatever way that looks like. So I use this word multidimensional a lot in my coaching. And what I mean by multidimensional is, yes, of course, we have this capacity to move through the dimensions, but on a more practical physical level, When I say multidimensional, what I mean is that a lot of star seeds have this capacity to be incredibly talented in so many different areas of their lives. So in my own personal life, I have so many different passions, in movement and nutrition and health and wellness and metaphysics and meditation and circus arts and so many things. And so in my own life, I was wondering, like, how can I put all of these things together? And so what I adopted was really kind of this system of being able to take all of my different passions and being able to put them into one place, which is this coaching place, and really allowing for myself to be totally unlimited, because we really do live in this beautiful unlimited universe, and it is so limitless and expansive. And so thus, I love to coach multidimensional. When I say multidimensional, I mean multi-talented human beings that have a lot of different talents and a lot of different areas of their lives, and really putting that into one place, one platform, and grounding that in. So it's like this whole new renaissance, like the old renaissance beings that, they call them the renaissance men or whatever that is. We're like these new renaissance beings that are coming onto this planet with so many ideas. And so thus, through so many ideas, we also have so many solutions to this evolution happening on this planet. And so that's really what I feel excited about when I'm coaching people, is, these multidimensional beings that are really, just so talented and are ready to hold space on a greater level, to really make that commitment to their own self-mastery. And through that, through making that commitment to their own self-mastery, being able to commit to the service of this evolution of awakening on our planet at this time.
Do you find a lot of musicians coming to you, people that are talented in music right now?
Oh, creative beings in general. Yeah, artists, musicians, performance artists, dancers. I mean, just the creative being in general. Those are who are absolutely attracted to the work that I do, yes.
You know, we have one of our starseeds that's putting together a starseed festival for 2020 that has to do with all kinds of art and music and everything. So stay in touch with me so that we can maybe find some of your clients that would want to participate in our Starseed Festival 2020.
Absolutely. That sounds beautiful.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit more about how you take a starseed and groom them for their potential.
Well, that all really has to do with their active choice. That all has to do with their message. I feel like each and every one of us as starseeds, we come with this beautiful potentiality. We come with this beautiful energy that we want to share with the world. And each of us has this really personalized message. Just like the genetic codes within each and every one of us is being a little bit different, right? Each of us have our DNA wants to express in these different ways. It's very much that. We have different messages that we want to give to the world. And so that's the most important part, is really starting to adopt our message and really feel excited about that. I feel like a lot of starseeds, we're still shy. We're shy about sharing who we truly are and the gifts of our divinity and the gifts of our remembering on this planet. And so that's a big one for so many of us, is to start to feel that feeling of worthiness and that feeling of confidence around sharing our gifts and sharing who we truly are and what that might look like. And so little by little, we only go as fast as how people feel excited about, and we move in this way that really adopts their message, gets them, grounds their platform into being. We do that through really, evaluating their core values. So many starseeds on this planet, one of their major core values is freedom, right? So many of us remember the feeling of just being so free in our energy bodies. And so freedom can be a massive core value for so many starseeds. And so if that's the case, if freedom is one of our major core values, we probably don't want to be building a business that's going to ground us into needing to be in one place for too long. could it be that a starseed would feel more comfortable creating an online business, or would it make more sense for a starseed to create a business that they could, you know, have some more freedom in their lives? And so we really look at the core values to be able to kind of shape and kind of create spaciousness for them to really know, like, what is the lifestyle? What's the lifestyle that they wish to live? And from that place of knowing that lifestyle that's really going to identify with who they truly are, well, that's where the business can really start. What I do with you know, these entrepreneurs is we create their personal brand. So it's really about taking who they are from the core essence of who they truly are and starting to transform that into a way of, like, of how do you share that? How do I share who I truly am, and how do I actually make abundance and create wealth and prosperity for myself by being there for who with who I am and then sharing my passions through that space? So
let me ask you, Carla, are you finding a lot of people have quit their jobs, sold their houses, got in their cars, just packed what they needed and started traveling and having experiences? Are you finding a lot of those people like starseed gypsies?
Oh, yeah. I'm one of them. I have been one of them. I did the gypsy thing for very many years of my life, up in the earlier years. And that, you know, that's what I find within creating a personal brand, is that we really attract who we are. And so thus, you know, I've gone through that situation of literally quitting my job, putting everything in my car, traveling out to, you know, all over the world, basically, moving from place to place, just to gain this knowledge and this new experience. And now that's pretty much who I'm working with. It's the creative, artistic, motivated human being that's ready to create change on this planet, but, you know, not really wanting to settle down necessarily, there's stability that can come from creating commitment to what we wish to create on this planet, but it doesn't have to do necessarily with our physical stability. So, I'm working more and more with what we call online nomads, digital nomads.
Yeah, that's good. Online, yeah, because you can be anywhere and travel and have a website and you know, be able to make your own money and then still do the starseed work and traveling and meeting and activating other people. Absolutely. Give us a little insight on how you see that happening and what are the procedures to do that?
Yeah, well, that, you know, it's different for everybody, right? There are some people that can just right away, they can just, what would feel best for them is if they just quit their job, they open up a ton of space in their lives and they just go for it, right? They're like, all right, I want to do coaching. I want to do this online. I want to sell products online. I want to do this. I want to do that. And there's no way that I want to have a steady 9-to-5 job and do that at the same time. So that's one type of person. And then there's a second type of person who is, you know, that person that is like, you know what, I want to keep my job. There's things that I still need to do within this 9-to-5 lifestyle. And on the side, I'd like to create an online business and eventually over time start to, you know, merge out of that 9-to-5 job and just be doing my online job. So it's really about identifying, you know, what's the safe and effective pathway for you? Because some people will just jump out of their jobs and feel totally just like they're standing on the edge of a cliff. And some people will, you know, that will exhilarate them. They're like, you know what, I don't have any ties to anything anymore and I'm ready to go. But then, you know, and then of course there are human beings that have families, commitments, lots of commitments in which they can't just say goodbye to and just pick up and travel. And so thus we have to evaluate, right? Like what choices are we making? So when we start to awaken really to our starseed potential, it's not about just running away from what was there to begin with. It's not about running away from what we might call the mundane or the ordinary. It's about making clear, very clear, very grounded choices around step-by-step processes and strategies that are going to take us from where we are right now to where we want to be. And for so many people, it's like, let's just jump right in. Let's go so fast. And you know, that's such a beautiful way to do it. But how do we ground? How do we find the grounding rooting cord so that we can really find the foundation, find the platform, and grow? So I like to always think about, you know, planting those seeds. Seeds take time to grow. Seeds take sunlight. They take water. They take a lot of nourishment and time. And so when we don't feel scarce, when we don't feel scarce in our time, so many of us as starseeds, we just want to accelerate so quickly. But if we can shift and shape our mindset to kind of walk away from that scarcity mindset of, I don't have enough time, I need to do it all right now, the planet needs to shift now, you know, we're coming from that place of scarcity instead of coming from that place of wealth, that wealth mindset of, I have all of the time that I need. I have all of the time that I need, and really indulging in that time and rooting and grounding and setting the platform so that the structure can be stable when we take that giant leap.
Let me ask you a question about your travels. When you said that you've gone to lots of different sacred sites and you've studied with a lot of different shamans. So after all of that you've gone through, have you collectively taken different aspects from your experiences and put to a program that you're now working on? Is that the way you drew from all your experiences in the shamanistic world and the sacred site places that you travel to?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have been so incredibly blessed in my life to have the opportunity to be with so many beautiful awakened beings on this planet, and to sit with them and to observe their practices and be just a humble witness to so much. And sitting at the sacred site, you know, really going on those endeavors. It would be ridiculous for me to say that it didn't make a massive impact on my life. And it's something that I definitely carry with me with massive amount of respect for where the practices come from and honoring where these practices come from. I spent about a year of my life traveling through South and Central America. I spent about a year of my life traveling through India and into Australia, New Zealand, really just diving in and fully giving myself to these sacred practices. And, you know, I was the kid back in high school, really, you know, was going on a kind of a path that was sort of destructive to my health and wellness. And after having that big, you know, walking through my fire with Lyme disease, it really woke me up. And that's why I started traveling in the first place. I wanted to learn these healing modalities. And it's absolutely things that I bring with me. With that being said, there has been massive shifts and changes within my own identity. Just to be a shapeshifter on this planet is a beautiful thing. And I feel like the more that we can get to know ourselves, the more the easier it is to create beauty from.
Did you ever find a solution for your Lyme disease?
Oh, yeah. I am 100% so full of life and cured myself from Lyme disease. And that was such a massive, massive journey. But that, to me, I mean, it had a lot. There were so many. I tried everything, right? I tried everything from under the sun. But at the particular time that I was curing myself 100%, it had tons to do with mindset. So I had these affirmations that I would speak to myself over and over and over and over again. It was basically transforming my mind, 100% transforming my operating system so that my body could match the mental capacities that I was putting out on a daily, regular basis.
Well, good for you. Are you planning on taking any people on sacred site tours? Are you having groups that maybe you're going to take maybe down to South America?
Yes. Thank you for asking that question. I am really excited to start holding and hosting retreats, taking star seeds, taking light workers, taking beings who are ready to, you know, to really take on responsibility within their lives to adopt the sacred, to adopt their sacred potential on this planet. And yes, I am going to be taking people to
Did you ever spend any time at Tulum in the Yucatan?
I have been to Tulum, yeah.
You know, that's a really wonderful high priestess goddess place. That's where they really took care of a lot of bringing in the children. The bloodlines were created there at Tulum.
It's a massively beautiful place. The energy there is quite outstanding.
Yeah. So tell us more about what you're doing now in your retreat place. Do people come to your office or facility for healing? Do you have other people working with you, or are you there by yourself?
Yeah, Align Divine Yoga in Ann Arbor, Michigan is where I currently reside. And I opened up this beautiful space called Align Divine, and we have about 8 teachers there at this particular time. We teach yoga, sacred embodiment. We do all styles of manifestation workshops, playfulness workshops. It's really an alternative place to dive into deeper spirituality. We host cacao ceremonies and ecstatic dances and just places for people to really embody their true selves as these beautiful star beings on this planet. And whether they, you know, recognize themselves as star beings or not, I've set up this place. It feels like an acupuncture place right in the heart of downtown Ann Arbor, you know, an acupuncture point on the earth. Really, the energy there is so beautiful, and it's a place for people to come and really begin to align with their divine potential.
Is this a place that you grew up at, or is this a place that you've chosen to be?
Ann Arbor
were you
the
raised
place that
in Michigan?
Yeah, I grew up in Ann Arbor. Chose to be here. I chose to be here as my family is here, and that feels really important to me at this particular time in my life.
Okay, that's good. So
yeah.
Tell us more about the things that you're offering on your websites.
Yeah, so, CarlaSamson.com. I do private coaching. The big thing that I focus on is doing 3-month deep dives with one-on-one with entrepreneurs. We really dive into couple of different realms. I've created something called I call it a starseed system of manifestation and navigation. And if you go onto my website and you press on the private coaching, you'll find that system right there. Basically, I started having these visions of working with people on the sacred sciences and working with people through sacred geometry. So if you go to my website, you'll see the sacred geometry. It's actually the Metatron's Cube, if anyone's familiar with that. But it basically takes you through the system of, identifying where we are in terms of our health and wellness, where we are within our family life, where we are within our intimacy, and intimacy meaning presence. I like to think about intimacy as presencing. And then also it dives us into, the work that we're doing on this planet, the sacred work, which I sometimes call creativity and innovation. And then the play that we do on this planet, like how do we, what fills up our cup, what creates joy in our lives. And then finally, it takes us through this process of allowing for deep connection. So these different practices. So I take people through different practices in this one-on-one coaching that really dives us into, in all of these different realms, where are we right now? And then where's the potential? What do we see ourselves, where do we want to be within these different realms of health and wellness, connection, intimacy, family, work, and play? And we go through this process of really seeing, it's the visualization process of really seeing where it is that we want to go. And then creating our operating system, and I call our operating system really the thoughts that are consistently moving through our mind, kind of like a computer, it's the operating system, so we can change those thoughts. But it really takes a quality of awareness to be able to change those thoughts. And as we change our thoughts, too, we are beginning to feel. What would it feel like to be in these places that we really wish to be? So, for example, health and wellness, if we can imagine ourselves in these beautiful places of feeling really healthy in our bodies, like vital, vibrance in our bodies. If we can actually start to imagine, what does that feel like for me? And then taking massive action towards each of these places. So I always I always try to remind entrepreneurs, right, that the most beautiful thing that we can do for ourselves is to really be of service first and foremost to our own self-mastery. And so that, in the three-month coaching process, is really what we dive into is, you know, where can we as human beings really realize our potential, start to create this manifestation process so that we can be of service to our own self-mastery.
Yes, that's exactly the way it should be. So tell us more about anything that you want to share with us. Maybe give us some examples of you don't have to mention the client's name, but give us a story about someone that has come to you and they didn't know what they were going to do with their life, and by coming to you, they were able to figure it out and to be an entrepreneur. Do you have a story like that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I've got tons of stories like that, but I'll share one in general, in particular. A beautiful woman, actually, as I was traveling through Alaska, I met her so briefly. It was the briefest moment, but we had this quick and beautiful connection of friendship. And years later, I'd say like 5 years later, she applied for my coaching, business. She kind of followed me on social media and applied for the coaching business. And when we, you know, we have our first the 3 month deep dive. And first and foremost, we have a consultation call, and her and I are talking on this consultation call. And she says, you know, Carla, I'm not 100% sure if I know exactly what I want to do in a business. You know, I know that that's something that you specialize in, and it's really helping entrepreneurs to create businesses. I have some ideas of what I want to do, but I'm not 100%. And, you know, I told her that's the perfect place to be. You know, it's really important that we eventually have clarity in terms of what our message is and what we want to be creating on this planet. But to have this blank slate of openness and to be open to spirit and open to the connectivity of what is wanting to flow through you, like that vital life force wanting to flow through you, that's a beautiful place to start from. So anyway, over the 3 months, we went into so much visioning work, so many processes of really dropping the layers that no longer served. You know, when we put up a lot of blocks throughout time, whether we, you know, whatever our fire is in terms of trauma, stress, anxiety, there can be a lot of blockages in terms of really saying yes to our purpose and our potential. And so that's a big process in what we do, is we really let go of limiting thought patterns and limiting belief systems that can really allow us to align deeper to what it is we truly want to be doing on this planet. Through this work, you know, long story short, she felt a calling to move to the Philippines and to start a cacao farm in the Philippines and support her family through that. And so, and she did. And I'm just laughing because I am just thinking of her right now in the Philippines and just, you know, her sacred mission was to work with plants and to be of service to the sacred plants on our planet and to cultivate a farm that was regenerative in by design. And she, you know, her mission was to be a steward of this earth and to begin to plant trees and to create just intentional relationships for other human beings to create relationship with plants. And little by little, you know, she did it, and now she's in the Philippines, and she is creating her cacao farm, and brought her family there with her. And so that's just one story of the many just magical, synchronistic, beautiful stories that I could share. So,
what did you say that she's growing?
Cacao. It's the raw pure form of chocolate.
Oh, okay, all right. You know, the Pleiadians brought chocolate to the planet.
I so believe that.
Right.
I'm sitting on some chocolate right now, some cacao from Guatemala.
You know what? I just got someone just sent me some from Guatemala. It arrived this week. Isn't that funny that you should say that?
Beautiful.
Yeah, and it's really good.
Yes,
so,
it is.
I'm noticing the time, and so would you be available to maybe talked to some people that will be calling in and maybe asking
Absolutely.
You questions or comments. So at this
That'd be great.
I would like to pass you over to my co-host, Arielle. And thank you so much for being on the planet and for doing what you're doing. And you stay connected to me so that we can get all of our artists and musicians lined up for this Starseed Festival 2020, okay?
Thank you, Avendar. It's been a pleasure
all right,
to talk
so
to you.
So back to you, Arielle.
Okay. Well, this is just, it's wonderful what you're doing and doing for so many starseeds. And well, I'm going to open up the switchboard. Looks like we already have a caller with a question. But if you are already on the switchboard and you want to ask a question from Carla, you'll just need to press 1 on your keypad so that we know you want to come on the air. And if you're just listening on the computer, then you need to pick up the phone and dial 917-889-8292, and then once you're in, press 1. So our first caller is named Hugh, and I'm going to get your mic open here. Okay, Hugh, you are on the air with Carla Sampson. Go ahead with your question.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call, and God bless you. Carla, I love everything you're saying. This is what the world needs. I am a starseed myself, and my question is, when you became ill, what was it that triggered you, or can, if you can find the pinpoint of what, where you started making a shift in your choices to do what you're doing that brought you to the position that you're in now? And also, I love that you talk about or have a website related to synchronicities, because that's a very powerful thing to look at in people's lives. Most people dismiss coincidences, but there's a reason for synchronicities.
Thanks, Hugh. Yeah, beautiful questions, and I'm so grateful for you getting on and sharing yourself as a starseed and connecting. So thank you. Gosh, I think your first question was about, you know, the shift that started to happen within my healing. And so if I can pinpoint that moment, I was working with some mentors at that particular time in my life. I find that mentorship is one of the most important things for myself personally in terms of continuing to create new pathways of my own healing and my own evolution. And through one particular relationship with a mentor, really focusing on mindset. And so with Lyme, and if there's anyone else listening with, you know, chronic fatigue or inflammation or Lyme or whatever that might be for you, you know, you know how difficult and tricky it is, especially when we feel really bad in our bodies, to have a clear mindset around I am healing, I am healing. You know, if we wake up and we're in pain, it's really hard to shift that mindset. And so that was a huge process for me of starting to work with that mentor and shifting my mindset. So every moment I started to catch my mind. So meditation was a big part of it, was being able to be the observer and witness of my own mind. And finding that anytime I was starting to have these thoughts of, you know, of pain, of sadness, of whatever that might look like, I would catch it. I would catch the thought, and I would immediately replace that thought with something like, I am Lyme-free, like an affirmation, or I am healthy, I am in perfect health, I am healing. And from that continuous work with my mindset, and then at the same time, too, of course, I was always moving my body, no matter what, every single day, doing something that was going to allow for reoxygenation in my own body. And so I was able to, you know, do just a little bit of exercise on the regular, just enough to really start breathing in my body and to start to release those endorphins. And I think those two things, right, full reoxygenation of my body and the catching of my mindset, I think that's when I started to have those really big shifts in my own personal life. And your second question, that was about synchronicities. Was there anything specific specifically about synchronicities that you were
well,
wondering
about?
Well,
maybe when you started the understanding what synchronicities were, to the point that you again brought it to the powerful way that you're presenting it, because I had them throughout my entire life. I keep discovering them from my past, and they're extremely powerful. And
totally.
Yeah, I'm going to contact you off air, because I'm looking for people just like you. We can shift this world very quickly, and if there was any way that you could clone yourself and bring it into replace all the senators and congressmen in Washington, I'd love to see that. But yeah,
that's great.
But
that's right.
I just love everything you're doing, and I hope when we connect, you can bring it back to a future show.
Would love to, yeah. And for those who are listening right now who don't know what synchronicity is, it's a meaningful coincidence. And so so I created this name back probably 8 or 9 years ago, synchroblicity. So going beyond synchronicity is synchroblicity, this idea that when we continue to follow our bliss, these meaningful coincidences show up in our lives. And one after the other, when we experience synchronicities in our lives, it's kind of like a wink from the universe telling us that we're going in the right direction. Wouldn't you agree, Hugh?
Yes, and I just wanted to interject real quick, because I love chocolate too, and I am committed to empowering women. And I say women have to save the Earth, because it's the only planet in the universe that has chocolate. So that could be a good motivator.
That's the reason why we all came here. That's the one and only reason, right? Love it, Hugh. That's so beautiful that you empower women. Keep rocking. Thank you so much.
I was married to an earth angel for 35 and a half years, and that's, again, I want to, and she blessed me with the lesson. I say we all incarnate to learn the lesson of unconditional love. As we learn it, we're supposed to be a blessing to others, especially those who can't help themselves. And your work, again, is so powerful and so beautiful. So thank you. And I'll let you move on to other callers, but you answered my questions beautifully. And thank you again to the host for allowing me to speak with you.
So grateful to connect to you. Thanks for calling in.
All right.
Great. Thanks, Hugh. Bye-bye. Okay, well, if anyone else has a question, if you're thinking about starting a business, then I'm sure Carla can help you. And, I mean, there are more ways. I mean, obviously the Internet will reach a lot farther than a little, you know, office on the corner. But do you have people that have done just like opening up a small business and doing what they love doing? And there's got to be more avenues than just, you know, just the Internet to promote and market whatever it is that brings you the passion and joy, what your life purpose is.
Oh, yeah. I mean, absolutely. The Internet is it's a beautiful tool. It's similar to the mycelial web in terms of connecting each and every one of us consciously on this planet. So that's why that is, you know, a big part of what I do. But I am a small business owner, right? I own this beautiful Sacred Embodiment Studio. And so a big part of marketing, and I think that was your question, is marketing and advertising, you know, it really had to do with continuously creating spaces in which people could show up and connecting and word of mouth. And, you know, I love to save paper. I try not to do so much printing out of posters and flyers, although that is helpful, but it's really, you know, about how connected can we get? How connected can we be? And so, especially for people who have small businesses in town, you know, it's where is your tribe? Where's your community? Who are you wanting to connect with? Reach out, go out, be part of those communities, be part of those circles, be part of those places of connection, so that you can magnetize, you know, the people that you're looking for into your small business, whether that be a place on the street corner, shop, or whether that be an online business, where we are constantly attracting our communities constantly looking for the tribe that that is wanting to, to take advantage of our services. And so really how committed can we be to showing up? I think no matter where we are in terms of our business, it's really about showing up consistently, constant showing up and a lot of messy action, continuously taking action towards, towards finding those beings that you're meant to work with.
And during your 3 month deep dive, obviously, I think I heard you say that you do a lot of visioning work, doing the energy work, because obviously, if you can imagine it in your mind, and you can grab the feeling of how it feels to have that, that's got to be a huge part of laying the foundation to get people out of their
Absolutely.
Own way.
Absolutely. And there's, just like there are different people that learn in different ways, right? Some people are visionary learners. Some people are auditory learners. Some people are kinesthetic learners. It's very much the same in the process of creating and designing the lifestyle that we wish to live in our own lives. And so, for me, it's really easy to envision, to see the next level of my own evolution. But for a lot of other people that I work with, it's really, they feel it. They're more empathic. They're more about that kinesthetic. They need to sort of feel the feeling, embody the feeling to kind of know the next step within their own lives. So so we really try to always work towards people's strengths, whatever makes them, whatever allows them to really get it in their bodies or to envision it. It's just about playing on people's strengths.
And what about identifying? It seems to me that you'd have to know who your target market would be. And I would think that it would be, other starseeds or enlightened people. But does it necessarily have to be that way?
For people that work with me, is that what you're asking?
If a client wanted to, you have to, with your client, identify the market that you want to go after?
Right.
Is that part of what you
exactly.
do?
Exactly. You're always, that's a big part of the preliminary process of what we do actually is identifying our target audience, right? So it doesn't have to be starseeds. It doesn't have to be, it's really about what it is that feels alive for you. And that, there's this saying that's going around right now that actually it resonates in this moment is, your vibe attracts your tribe. And so who you are as a being and what you're doing, what feels passionate within you and what you're creating on the planet is going to, ultimately attract that target audience. But to be very particular about who you are attracting can be a really kind of expedited way of starting to talk to those people. Because when we're talking to our ideal clients or talking to those that we wish to work with, right, we can talk to our own pain points. And from our own pain points, those can be very resonant with the people that we are meant to work with because we have obviously walked through those different fires or walked through those different situations and we've navigated them. And if, if you're just one step ahead along the path of navigation, that's what a mentor is, right? That's what a coach, a mentor is someone that has walked through and navigated these areas and can draw a lot of ease instead of you needing to go out and be a trailblazer yourself. It's you can find a lot of ease through the process of navigation.
So, a person could be marketing products or services, coaching, it can be anything, physical, tangible, or more. Spiritual, educational. It doesn't matter what the service or the product is, as much as that you have the appropriate energy foundation, the visioning, the market research, and you got to have to have all that stuff in place. And then is there a point where things start to congeal during this three-month deep dive? By the time a person's done with the three-month course, are they basically ready to launch?
That absolutely depends always on their particular flow. So in one way, yes. I have a particular system that I bring people through that, you know, on the other end of it, it would be practical that they would have their platform ready to go. However, with that being said, within the coaching that I do and the mentorship that I do, it's also quite intuitive, right? And so there are beings that really need, you know, more time with recreating their operating system, or with the mental kind of mindset hacking, or perhaps, you know, on one level or another, there is some things that really need to get cleared. That, you know, a lot of us hold on to feelings of scarcity, feelings of unworthiness, feelings of just big feelings that are kind of blocking us from really recognizing and realizing the potential of our purpose on this planet. And so, for some beings, they need, you know, that can be a big part of the work. And so after the 3 months, you know, we're taking it one step at a time. We're going only as fast as feels good for people. For some people, they don't feel ready to completely 100% launch off into their entrepreneurial business. But with that being said, they've done preliminary work in the way that has set their mindset ready to take on those endeavors. They have the tools that they need. They have the things written down, ready to go, so that they can take that process and kind of launch it as and when they are ready. So, you know, it's never about pushing. The process is always about finding softening into our process. You know, when we have too much expectation around, oh, it has to get done now, you know, that can cause feelings of discomfort. That can, those accelerated feelings can cause anxiety. And so what we want to do, especially on this process of creating businesses for ourselves, is allow it to be created with ease. Because when we create it with ease, we're setting a foundation and a platform for ease to continue to happen.
Well, that makes sense. And I'm sure that, as you mentioned, you do have an intuitive skill that you can kind of tell if a person is has yet to clear all the blocks, because a lot of the blocks to abundance seem to be the person's own doing, inadvertently
time.
Maybe. Yeah. Because
I mean all of us
have the abundance is there.
Yeah, absolutely. Each and every one of us has a certain level of, you know, and I loved when you used that word abundance, because we pick up different ideals and expectations of what abundance looks like for us, as well as we also pick up different ideals and expectations of what success looks like. And so that is a big process, especially here in the United States, is that we get into these spaces of really overwhelming our nervous system, because we're so wired on the expectation of I have to be successful, I have to be this, I have to be that. We're so wired on these expectations that when we fail to meet our own expectations, or these external expectations that we feel are coming from, whether it be your parents or your children or your friends or family or whatever that looks like, our nervous system can get really triggered and really tired. And so for me personally, as I take people through this process, it's all about, you know, really being of service to our nervous system. When we're living in our sympathetic nervous system, we're living from this place of fight or flight. When we're living in a place of fight or flight, we're going to be making quick reactive decisions. We're going to be moving very quickly. We're going to probably be in a place of feeling aggressive or whatever that however that shows up for us, right? We want to be aware of that if we're living in that place of fight or flight. When we're living from our parasympathetic nervous system, we're living in that place of resting and digesting. And so what happens when we rest is energetically, our fields can open. Our fields can open and we can be in this place of receiving abundance. If we're constantly pushing, fighting, flighting, we are going to be eventually burning out and unable to really continue to effectively work towards our entrepreneurial endeavors. And so that's a big part of the process too, is rewiring the full operating system, not just the mental operating system, but also the nervous system in terms of letting go of expectation so that we can create what we want to create with ease and beauty and grace and love.
Right. Well, I mean, expectations are limits. If you expect it to be some way, then you've actually limited it. So when you remove the expectations, there's no limit to what can come in. So, that makes total sense.
And I love the way you say that, too, right? Yes, expectations are limitations. And we live in a limitless, abundant universe. And so thus, when we can begin to drop away from those limitations of expectation, we begin to see our own expansive nature and creativity can thrive in those places.
Yeah, I mean, and what we're really talking about is releasing the fear, the uncertainty, the insecurity, I'm not good enough to do this, I'm not worthy enough, you know, all of those things that we have been programmed in our thought process. These are things that have got to be overcome. I mean, first off, because you can't really go forward when you've got like, oh no, what if this, and oh no, what if that. And so I tell people in my readings, when you start saying what if, you know you're in dangerous waters. Get out of there quick, you know, because you're the what if. You know, like, well, you know, I could make this happen, you know. So, but usually the what ifs are you know, doom and gloom. You know, oh no, what if this goes wrong? What if that goes wrong? And it's like, well, that's your own mind, your masculine logical mind trying to keep the feminine from flourishing. Because we had some time ago, we had a guest on the show. I wish I could pull up her name right now, but she made a point that just stuck with me, is that when you listen to like a proposal or an idea or something like that, the minute you say, yeah, but, that's your masculine, logical, left brain hijacking that whole thought. So I was like, it's that simple, isn't it? Somebody says something and it's like, well, yeah, but, and then you just shut it right down. So when you do that with yourself, you know, it's just like, okay, you know, logical 3D brain, go sit down, because we're doing something creative and that's not your field.
That is right. That's right. It's this active conscious choice to continue to, you know, to sit that logical mind down. Now that logical mind is very helpful in the way of creating platforms and creating our foundation for our business or whatever that might look like. But then when you have that platform created, then it's time to set that down. You're right. And actively choose. You know, we can fall back so easily on sort of an operating system that has felt really easy in the way that, and you know, you said it before, of like the programming that we just are born, you know, we're born into a place where we're sponges. We sponge up what we see. We react with the world in that way. And if we don't actively choose, we fall back on default, right? And so when we can choose the timeline we're creating for ourselves, we're constantly, you know, starting to walk towards those upper limits for ourselves instead of, you know, going back into that default of programming. to choose, you know, oh, who am I today? What am I today? And allowing that, you're right, that feminine mind, that right side of the mind, that creativity to really take over. I'm always reminding my clients to incorporate a practice into their lives, whether that be a morning practice and mid-afternoon practice, an evening practice. But I kind of recommend the morning because it's, you know, an opportunity when we can sit down and we can ask ourselves before we do anything else in the day. Maybe we have a cup of tea and we sit down or we journal or we move or whatever that looks like. But just asking ourselves in that moment, you know, who am I? And my full, creative, limitless, abundant self, who am I? And being open to receiving, because every day there's a little more magic that flows in.
Well, and it'll flow in as quickly in direct proportion to the allowance that you give it. You know, and there are, I'm sure, people, I want to talk about familiarity. And a lot of times people, I think, would backslide to what is familiar, whether it's good for them or not, but at least it's a known quantity. So sometimes letting go of the familiar can really open you up to all kinds of new things.
Yes. I love that you say that. Yeah, it's the... When we can be a shapeshifter in our identity, how many things are opening within our field at that particular time? If we're so stuck in our identity in terms of I am this, I am that, I am this, I am that, right? We're creating only a limiting boundary for ourselves that is, it's a little harder to break out of. And so I really appreciate that you say that.
Yeah, well, you know, just because something is familiar, it's like, oh, yeah, that old familiar bad knee, you know, it lets me down all the time. But it is familiar. I know it really well. I'm just joking right now, but, you know, people will hang on to pain even because it's familiar and they're used to it, you know, and at the same time, they want out. So at some point you have to let that attachment go to give yourself the freedom to redesign. You know, if you don't want to be the receptionist or the secretary or you know, whatever it is that you might be doing in the 3D world, if that's not what you want to be, then it's a blank slate. You can create whatever you want. And especially speaking to the listeners, you know, with Carla's experience and guidance, you can go from, you know, limbo to having your, you know, traction on the path and get where you want to go.
I like to think about it as, you know, as standing on the side of a cliff. And so there is water down. Imagine that there's water down below you. You know, there's a beautiful river or lake or whatever it is, but there's water down below you. You're about 20 feet up in the air on this cliff, and you see that there are others around you, and they're jumping off into the water. And you know it's safe. You know it's safe to jump off, but you feel so comfortable where you are. But you know there's something within you. There's this spark of inspiration, this spark of something that's pulling you to take that leap, to take that leap off that cliff and jump into the water. And you're looking down, there's some jagged edges around the side. So you know that there's a little danger, right? There's a little danger that goes along with taking that giant leap. But you're seeing other people are jumping in, you know it's safe. And so what do? Right? You can stay in what I like to call, of course, your comfort zone. Or what I like to call, you can take that giant leap into your destiny zone. And that is a space where, you know, you don't know. You don't know what's going to happen when you take that giant leap. But you have this trust, this beautiful trust that follows as you jump in. You know, you fall into the water and it was fun. And you're like, I can do that again. But it's,
right.
But it is
right.
that one decision, that big decision of, you know, is transformation right and ready for me? Am I ready to take that giant leap into the unknown? Am I ready to say yes to my destiny zone?
Well, that's a question that everyone has to ask themselves. And I would hope that they don't wait until you're so miserable that it's your misery that makes you jump. You know, don't let it go that far, because the farther down you are before you take the jump, I just think it'd be easier if you don't let things get deteriorated to the point where you're so miserable that that's your motive for taking the jump. You know, don't do it because it's what you really want. I mean, I'm just talking out loud here, but does that sound right or correct?
Absolutely. But at the very same time, no matter what that catalyst is for change, I'm just so grateful that change is an inevitable part of our reality in this physical three-dimensional space and time. that change is going to happen, and so no matter what, it's about being gentle with yourself, and no matter where you're at in the process of your own awakening and your own potential, you're right. Choice can be a beautiful part of that space. But no matter what it is, no matter what that catalyst is, it's just to have that spark of inspiration for changing, no matter what, is that first part of potential. I think that are ready and there to receive.
And I would just like to interject this one. I don't know if you call it information or not, but let's call it a suggestion. Is that, you know, when you have a client that's ready to launch, please have them check the planets, you know, because you could put in all this work, and if you launch with the moon void, of course, or if you launch when Mercury's retrograde because you didn't know,
totally.
Or if you launch with, like, just transits that are going to, it's like, man, if you try to do this now, it's not going to work. Wait until, you know,
exactly.
2 weeks, you know. So as astrologers,
that's a really good point. That's a really good point. And in all of my businesses, I have, it's like, you just want to go. You're like, I'm ready. And then you check the astrological charts. You're like, oh gosh, I really should wait for this to change.
Well,
yeah.
You might be all excited and so impatient, like a little child that just wants to go ahead and open the Christmas presents. But, you know,
totally.
If you do not time your move, then all of that work could just get, you know, less than stellar results. And then the person would think, oh, it's me. I didn't do something right. And it's like, no, you just didn't check for your launch point, you know, because you could have a wonderful business plan. You could have everything just really so fine-tuned. And if you're just not, it's like stepping out in the street without looking to see if there's a car coming. And then, boom, you know, you're a road pancake. And you think, oh, I must not be worthy. It's like, no, you just had bad timing. So, and astrology can give you that timing without a doubt. And you can see, it's like, okay, you know, I know I'm impatient, but if I can just wait 2 more weeks, it'll be so worth it. So, I just want to
I was
add
so grateful
that to.
Yeah, and thank you for adding that. I was so grateful to have a reading with Lavendar before I launched my Starseed Entrepreneur business, and she was really... just a big role in helping me to define, you know, perfect timing for being able to launch that. And so I definitely try to bring as much awareness to our larger star system that has a really direct role in our planetary goings on.
Oh, and it has, I mean, for forever, for thousands and thousands of years. Different, you know, civilizations have honored astrology, and you know, it's just the, you know, took a little bit of a beating there when they took it out of the Bible, but it doesn't invalidate the science. It's only about the, you know, putting the public to sleep. But yeah, astrology is there, and even if you just, you know, check the moon, you know, you just never want to do anything that's important to you when the moon is void, of course, if you want it to grow roots and take off. You know, and the same with Mercury retrograde, or, you know, other planetary transits that might be personal to you, that it's like, well, you better wait till that's gone before you do anything, or wait until this comes in to get the you know, super turbo, you know, catapult. So this is so much needed. It's so much needed because, I mean, if we talk to people every week, many people who want to make that change, you know, leave the 3D corporate world and do whatever their passion is. So what you're doing is so timely. It's so much needed. And I really encourage people to connect with you. Is the best way through your main website, Carla Sampson?
Yeah, Carla Sampson, yeah.
Okay, and then you have your other two websites linked on that one? Okay, well, great.
Yeah, but the best way to get in direct contact is just that www.carlasampson.com, and everything they need is pretty much right there to get in contact.
Excellent. Well, it's been a pleasure having you with us, and we
thank you so much for having me.
Sharing your time and your knowledge and all that you have done in a pretty short period of time, because you're still a young woman. So you've got great things in the future coming for you, I'm quite sure.
So, and we thank you for the time and the space to connect, and thank you so much.
You are so welcome. So everyone, check out Carla's website, which is CarlaSamson, SAMSON.com. And we got a lot of things on there that are very helpful. So I encourage everyone to just take a look and connect with Carla if you're ready to go. Even if you're not ready to go, connect with her to find out how to get ready to go. That's it. Okay.
Yeah, I have a lot of free different kind of webinars and videos on there, so please check it out.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being with us, Carla, and we'll look forward to having an update from you at some point in the future, and let us know how things are going. Okay?
Sounds good.
Okay.
Thanks again.
Great. Well, we're going to wrap up now, and we want to thank you all for listening, and special thanks to our wonderful Starseed team, Kathy, Jada, and Fiona. And we will be back next week with Anastasia and the Starseed News. So take care of yourselves, everyone, and find gratitude in every day. Until next week, bye-bye.
Been listening to Starseed Radio Academy. Visit our website at www.starseedhotline.com.